Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You have to feel sorry for Moses. He was given a job that he had not applied for. And when he was approached, he said, "No, you've got the wrong man." And God said, "No, I still want you to do it." Now, you would think if God gives you a job to do that the road is smooth, because after all, it's God and God can do anything. But if you've read the story of Moses, you know that the road was not smooth. And he was given a leadership position. And any time there was a problem, you know that people in leadership get the blame. In fact, most of the time when he was praying to God, he was yelling at God. And he would even ask him, "Why did you give me this job?" And this went on for years. I remember in a previous church, a member of the board of trustees came to me and he said, "Pastor, I'm really worried." I said, "Why are you worried?" He said, "Because it's been months and nobody's complained. We must be doing something wrong." Now, I know that never happened in this church. That was my last church. It's a rough job. And up until the point of the story that was read today, Moses was having a very hard life. He was sent up to the mountain to talk to God. Now, that was a heady time for him. And God gave him some commandments, and I guess they did some editing work because it took a long time. It took like 40 days. And so he was chiseling out all the commandments of God. And while he was gone, the people thought, you know, this Moses character, now they had followed him for years. He must have died up on the mountain. So we don't really think God's around, so we're going to fashion a God in our own image. And if you remember the story, they fashioned a golden calf, and then things really went crazy down below that mountain. And if you read between the lines, it sounded like there was a drunken orgy around this golden calf. So Moses comes down the mountain. He sees people carousing. He takes these wonderful tablets of stone and he smashes them. And so judgment happens and terrible things happen. And then the people repent and say, "Oh, we did a bad thing and we're sorry." And so now Moses has to go back up to the mountain to start it all over again. But this time, when he goes up the mountain and he's communing with God just like before, when he comes down, something has happened to Moses. Now, he's talked to God a lot, but this is the first time when he comes down, his face is glowing. Look, radioactive. And so the people were frightened. And instead of covering his face, he said, no, come near. He's realizing, oh, finally, I have the stamp of God on me. So he wants to get near the people to talk to them. And then it's not until after he's talked to them that he puts a veil over his face. Because after that, the glory fades from his face and he doesn't want people to see that. And every time he went up to the mountain, he'd take the veil off to get another glory fix. And when he come down off the mountain, his face would be nice and shiny, and he talked to the people. That must have been so wonderful for him. Except when the light faded. Then he's ordinary Moses again. You can understand how he felt. For a few minutes, everybody could see that the stamp of the divine was on him. And then we see that glorious vision in the New Testament, when Jesus was transformed. But that was only for a few minutes, and he didn't have an audience. He had three guys who watched and then said nothing later. But then we have a promise from Paul, who talked about Moses, talked about the veil, and he said, "But you know, if we know Jesus, we can walk into Jesus' presence without a veil over our face." In other words, We can be exactly who we are, warts and all, and we can come into the presence of God, Almighty God, and be accepted by God. And we don't have to pretend to be something else, and we don't have to pretend to have the divine stamp, because when we enter Jesus' presence in whatever state, he stamps us with divinity. It's a wonderful promise. And what I like so much is that we don't have to change our personality. Because all of you know that that would be impossible. And God gave us a wonderful personality. We're all different. And what God does is not change our persons, but transform us into people who can reflect the image of God. Paul puts it this way. He said, we're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord. And so if we're being transformed into his image, what does that mean? That means that we're becoming more and more like Jesus in the things that we do each and every day. Now, there was a statement a few years back to help kids. I think it was to keep kids in line. It was a statement that read, what would Jesus do? So every time you went into a situation, you wanted to stop and say, what would Jesus do in this situation? So if you were going to do something bad, you thought, oh, well, Jesus wouldn't do that. Now, we know how effective that was. But I'd like us to consider, when we are in situations, not what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus be in that situation? When we're in family strife, what would Jesus be in this family? What would Jesus be in that office situation? What would Jesus be in the community? And there are times that Jesus would be compassionate and would carry the burdens of the people. There were times that Jesus would be very tough because injustice was abounding and he was going to speak to that injustice. There were times when Jesus would be the one feeding the 5,000 because they were hungry. Whatever the situation is, Paul says we need to reflect Jesus. He said, by God's mercy, we are engaged in this ministry and we do not lose heart, because we know that each and every day that we come to Jesus, we're going to be stamped with divinity. And that place between heaven and earth will be thinner. Have you been stamped with divinity? You say, I had a hard time just getting up in the morning. Don't talk to me about divinity. But we have this promise from God that we can come even when we're discouraged, even when we're disheartened, even when we're really grumpy. We don't have to put on a facade for God. And when we come into his presence, he stamps us with the very divine nature, so that, not that we can feel good about ourselves, but that we can go out and be like Jesus to this lost and dying world. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that the stamp of divinity happens each time we come to you in all our frailty, warts and all. And we thank you that everything we do that is right and lovely and good comes from you. And we ask that you would continue to help us to reflect your image. In Jesus' name, amen.